Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast.
Hello.
My name is Zenya and I'm here with Michelle.
Hello.
Michelle, it's just us.
What's up? We've got room for somebody else. Who are we waiting for?
Jesus.
Hey, he's out there already.
Wow, that's a strong image. Guys, it's just us two and we're going to be... Oh.
It's the Way gals and we're missing Izzy.
Yeah, sad times. Izzy, where you at? Everybody at Izzy in the comments. We
Izzy,
like
where
at Izzy, where are you at? But today, guys, we are in our final episode of this Joseph character study that we've been doing. Michelle, how have you found it so far?
Really good, actually. I would recommend for y'all to go back and read it because I think the thing is, when I think about Joseph and Joseph's story, like, it takes me back to when I was at Sunday school at church. Back in the day. And the Technicolor Dreamcoat and all of that, you know? And it was like a story that I just thought, oh, that's a cool story. But now I feel like I'm like reading it from a different perspective. Like I'm an adult now.
Wow, the growth.
The growth, literally.
I feel the same, like Joseph in that coat. Joseph had drip. But hey, we're going to be dripped out in the scriptures. Because we're going to be going from, I guess the last episode was kind of like a cliffhanger in a way. So if you haven't seen that, check that out. Link will be on the screen somewhere. I don't know, something. I'm not sure, but go check that out. And today we're going to be talking about the final parts of Joseph's life. So like the restoration with his brothers.
Yeah.
And then kind of like the history of where the Israelites, how they end up in Egypt. It's a madness. So let's get into it. And I guess like for a little bit of a recap. So in the last episode, if you haven't listened, little recap. So Joseph's brothers got framed for stealing from the palace and they took one of the silver cups that were in the palace and it was found in Benjamin's backpack and Benjamin's Joseph's older brother, like the brother above Joseph in age. He's the second youngest and it wasn't cute because Joseph's dad didn't want to send Benjamin with the brothers because he was afraid of another one of his young sons being killed or being kidnapped or something bad happening. And so the fact that he gets framed is like, well, this is why we shouldn't have sent him. But hey, we're here now. And Joseph goes, it's all right. He'll just be my slave, you know? He'll be my servant. I'll take him in and it's great. And the rest of you lot can just go home and it like creates a little bit of tension. And now we're at a point where Joseph's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to tell them who I am. Yeah. I'm going to finally reveal my identity. And he does that. So I guess we can read like a couple verses and chat about it.
Genesis 45.
Chat it through.
Before we do that real quick, sorry.
Oh, what's she doing?
I got permission finally from one of our producers to put my feet up on the sofa. So I'm going to do that and get comfy as we read.
Powerful moment.
Feet are on the sofa, guys. This is a big moment.
This is legendary.
This might be the only time where I could do this, realistically. I got a yes once. Doesn't mean the next podcast feet will be on the sofa. So I'm going to take advantage of it now.
Mate, when God gives you that yes, you better step into it.
Amen. That's a word for someone.
Come on. Well, now that we've enjoyed that moment, let's read the scriptures. So in Genesis 45, verse 5-8, it says, and now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. So this is Joseph talking to his brothers and basically telling his brothers, like, there was a reason for all this.
Yeah.
You know, what you did to me, God had bigger plans. Anyways, it goes on. He says, for 2 years now, there has been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant of earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of Egypt. And I just think it's so interesting how Joseph's having this conversation with his brothers, because he had all the reason to like be mad at them.
Yeah.
Like really, this is the moment where you could turn around and reveal your identity and be like, ha, psych, it was me the whole time. And by the way, you guys are terrible. Like, look at what you've done to me. But actually he's like, yeah, there's a famine coming and I'm actually going to look after you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, it just goes to show his like personal growth as well, like what God has done in his own heart, because he could have easily been like swallowed in his just anger and his pain and his suffering that his brothers caused him. But which, like, in like seeing his brothers, he could have easily just been like, nah guys, like, you're done, I'm gonna like ruin your lives as much as like you thought you were gonna ruin mine. But like, it just goes to show how God is like restored and written a new story for Joseph by giving him this like freedom and this truth that he can now actually fully live in, the fact that, oh no, there's like a greater purpose for the suffering that I went through. It wasn't actually you guys, it was God that actually made this happen. Which is, if you think about it, it's just insane how like somebody's heart can go from a place of like, the if it's a plain on paper, they caused that to happen to him. But then he's like, he had this like revelation from the Lord that, no, this is for a greater good, for like my yes or my like suffering has led to many people experiencing, I don't know, help in this time, this famine, even including his brothers. And I reckon that stirred something in the brothers' hearts too. Like, wow, he's forgiven us. I mean, it does say in chapter 45 that they were like scared, like they were terrified of Joseph and his presence, because I mean, he has so much power now, you know, like, yeah.
And I think, like, bearing in mind the chapter before this and like a couple chapters before this, Joseph was really testing his brothers. Like, he was really trying to get to the nitty gritty and make them feel for what they did for him. And I think, like, now that he's revealed his identity, like, why do you think Joseph did that, went through such extremes to make that his brothers kind of like really feel it? Like, when the cup was stolen, that was a real moment of like, dang, like, we really messed up here. And even one of the brothers was like, oh, maybe this is God punishing us for our sins. And like, I think that in that moment they were really thinking about what they did to Joseph. So like, why do you think Joseph took them on that journey of really like deeping their pain and deeper what they did
to him? The thing is, like, that's a really good question, Zen, but actually I think that cup was placed in the bag.
Yeah.
You know, so I almost feel like Joseph did that on purpose, because this happened twice. And Joseph did that on purpose to test their character and their heart and to see whether they've actually changed or not. Because they were coming to him and like kneeling down before and being like, oh, we are your servant, Lord. Like, we want to, like, we'll do whatever you want us to do. But before this all happened, before they had chucked Joseph into, like sold him into slavery, they were the older brothers that were really mean to him, and they didn't like him because of the favoritism that his dad was showing him. And I feel like if they had come with that same character to Joseph and asked him, begged him for help, I feel like Joseph would, like, you know, it was almost like he had to test whether they had really changed and whether they were different from where they were before, and whether he could actually choose to trust them again. Because I think Joseph had that in his heart where he's like, no, actually, my brothers, I haven't seen him in so long. Like, if I tried to relate to him, put myself in Joseph's shoes, I would probably think, like, I miss these guys so much. I haven't seen my family in so, so long. And I've been given this really big responsibility to take care of Egypt. And that's a big responsibility. We can't just, like, graze over that. There's going to be really tough times never lasts, but only tough people lasts, and that's Joseph did. You know, so I think he actually did that strategically to see whether they had changed or not. And I think if we relate that to ourselves, I think God can sometimes like try us and see whether we've like actually learned from what the mistakes that we've made before, and whether we're like actually, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like a realization for them in their own hearts whether like it's worth forgiving or worth like moving on. Like, the thing is, their guilt and their pain that they had caused their brother Joseph, I'm talking about the other brothers, they were like crippled by that, because like every time, like if you read back a few chapters back, you'd see that whenever the dad
Jacob
whenever Jacob like mentioned like, why are you guys like talking amongst each other or something like that? Like, whenever Joseph's name was mentioned, or whether Egypt was mentioned, they were like, reminded of what they have done. So I don't know where I was going with that. But I just basically think there's like a whole strategic plan and reason for Joseph to do that and plant those like cups, for example, like you said, the silver cup in the bag to see whether they'd be their character, like honesty, whether they would actually come back and be like, no, this actually wasn't us. Like, why would we do that type vibe? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And I also think there's a conversation to be had about forgiveness because... Mm-hmm. Like when I think about if somebody was to harm me in the way that Joseph was harmed by his brothers, there's one level of being like, okay, cool, you guys have said sorry, or okay, you guys seem to be remorseful, I forgive you. Like you can close it and keep it there. Mm. But he goes above and beyond that and goes, I'm not only just going to forgive you, I'm actually going to protect you guys from this famine. And I think, you know, we talk about like God working all things together and Joseph's talking about how, yeah, like God had plans. Like you guys may think you brought me here and you put me in Egypt, but actually God brought me here. And I think not only does God have restoration for Joseph, but he had restoration for the brothers as well. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, that scripture in Romans 8, and it talks about how God works all things together for those who love him and are called to their purpose. But like God had a purpose for Joseph, but he also had a purpose for the brothers. Mm. And it reminds me how sometimes like we can be, as human beings, we make mistakes, like we hurt people,
yeah.
We do things that are wrong, but that doesn't mean that it's over for us. Like totally. It wasn't over for Joseph's brothers because actually Joseph like was able to forgive them and basically like remove the remorse and reinstate the family and help them in this time of famine. So I don't know, when I was... reading this and thinking about it, it made me think like even when I make mistakes and even when I do things that are like categorically wrong and like I hurt people, God doesn't hate me. Yeah. I'm not cancelled by God. Like God has more for me. Mm-hmm. And actually like if I come to him with a repentant heart, with a heart that says I'm sorry and like I actually feel what I've done and mm-hmm. I feel the depth of my sin and the depth mm-hmm. of my mistakes, he can work with that.
Yeah.
And like he can restore and he can turn things around.
Totally. And it's equally the same to think that like when others, whether like you've done something wrong to somebody else, like there is restoration in that God can do. Like it doesn't have, like forgiveness starts with you choosing to like do it and like actually have an active process of like pressing into forgiveness and like, you know, asking God to help you through that. Cause it's not like an easy thing. Like you, one day something happens to you, someone's done something to you. And then you just think like, okay, I'm just going to forgive them and I move on. Like it hurts and there's a sting to it. So it's a process. And the thing is like Joseph at this time, like he had so much time. I mean, what, 20, 30 years to process that and work through that. But I think it's a miracle. Like this sort of forgiveness is radical and totally like through the help of God. Because I personally think if someone did that to me, I mean, multiple people, like my brothers, people who are meant to be like in my corner and for me, and they do that to me, I would be so, so hurt that I feel like I would like probably hold on to bitterness for a while
mm-hmm.
before I could even like, yet alone, just forgive them. And also provide and protect them. Do you know what I mean?
I'd have to go to like another room to find that forgiveness because I know it's not here. Like I'd have to go find it somewhere else. No, and it's really tough. And then Joseph goes above and beyond that. And he's not only just like, I'm going to forgive my brothers.
Right.
I'm going to like help them out in the famine, but I'm going to go get my dad. Like he's like, no, go and find my dad. Yeah. Bring my dad to me. Like he goes a bit beyond that. Later down in the chapter, and he basically says like, oh, like there's this land in this place called Goshen. And it's like, it's all good there. There's fertile ground. It's all great.
Yeah.
And this famine's coming. So go and tell my dad to send the whole family mm-hmm. to live in this land and flourish during the 5 years of this famine.
Yeah.
And then he has a moment with Benjamin where they like reconnect
and
they like embrace and they start weeping together. Yeah. And then he starts weeping with his brothers and it's like all beautiful.
Wow.
And I don't know why, but I just think it's interesting the relationship between Joseph and Benjamin at this moment. Because to me, if I was Joseph looking at this, Joseph was hated by his brothers because he was the youngest one, because his dad favorited him, like, well, showed more favoritism towards him than his other right. brothers. Then his brothers, like, do the unspeakable. They basically try to kill him. And then they portray or paint to their dad that Joseph's passed. But then the second youngest brother, Benjamin, now they treat him like he's the greatest thing ever. Like, they actually treat him the way that they should have treated Joseph. Mm. And actually, Benjamin, like, yes, he's loved by his dad and he has that favor as well, but he's also treated well by his brothers. So then looking at Benjamin, if I was Joseph, I would be like, I would feel jealous of him because my brothers treated you better than they treated me. And I was the youngest. You're the second youngest, but I was the youngest one. And they treated me so bad. But now that I'm gone, they're treating you better than they're treating me. That could have created some jealousy, but he didn't care about that in that moment. He just wept with his brother and he was like, I don't care about that. I just care that, like, we get to be back together and we get to be a family again. And I don't know, there's something in that, that, like you were saying about how forgiveness is radical. There was something so radical about that. He could have been jealous. I would have been jealous. So I'm like, what did Joseph have in that moment? And I genuinely think he was moved by God. Like, he had God and he had that mindset that actually all of this is working together for something greater. And so he doesn't have to feel like his emotions or feel like personal feelings about this. He can look at his brothers now and be like, it's all right. We can move on. We can get past it. I don't know. I really liked that.
I love that. I love that. And that's like, so like, I feel like that's like a word for us as well.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in the sense that we can have all sorts happen in our lives and we might think everything is against us. Like, God either is against me or people don't like me and all of this. Like,
yeah, we take things personally.
Exactly. Yeah. We could think like everything is against us, but like, we don't realize that God is like, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He sees everything from beginning to end and he knows the storyline when we don't, because we're the characters in it. We're like the ones, like, God is like writing our stories. And I think, like, yeah, legit, for real, he's writing our story. And like, whenever we think things are against us, we take things personally. I think it's like good to remind ourselves of this story that, like, you know, we don't have to deep things so much, even though it is like difficult. God has got a greater plan and he's going to use it. And there's a greater purpose for everything. But I'm just wondering, like, how would you, like, let's try to put ourselves in the shoes of the brothers. How would you have felt, like, to have your, like, brother that you've just, like, sold out for, like, slavery and really just, like, hurt him to the max? You've done the most to do that.
Mm.
And, like, now all of a sudden now he's, like, revealed himself and said, oh, no, guys, like, I love the fact that we get to be together again and we're reconciling. And like, he's like crying and he's moved so much to see his brothers. Like, I wonder how would you have felt if you were in the shoes of a brother?
I feel like there's two parts to it. I think I would feel like, oh my gosh, you're not dead. Like, that's crazy, because they genuinely probably thought this guy was dead. Like, they had no contact with him.
Yeah,
after right. after he was taken by those travelers. So they probably thought he was dead. So imagine somebody that you think you played a big part in their murder, and you see them, there's so many feelings of like shock, like, how is this even, like, surprise, yeah, like, relief, gratefulness, disbelief, like,
yeah, yeah,
this is a miracle. But then once those feelings end, it's cut through with, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me now?
Yeah.
Like, surely something has to come my way. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
surely revenge has to come back to me. Yeah. Like, there's, I don't know. I feel like a lot of our relationships are transactional, in terms of like, if I do good, good will come back to me. If I do bad, bad will come back to me. And I think we have that mindset. So they probably came into this expecting something bad to happen to them off the back of it. And so this moment is kind of jarring, because it's like, what the outcome they thought was going to happen isn't actually happening.
Yeah.
And the bad that they thought they deserved is actually being replaced by God's goodness.
Oof.
They didn't expect that.
They did not expect that.
And I bet you guys didn't expect that too. And on top of that, I bet you didn't expect that after this, okay, we're trailing through the chapters and we're at the end of chapter 45. We're trailing through the chapters and we're at the end of chapter 45. Basically, Pharaoh hears that Pharaoh hears that Joseph's dad is coming. Joseph's dad's like, I want to see my son. So Pharaoh's like, actually, before he comes, I'm going to send the brothers back to get him, but I'm going to send you back with food, with wagons of food, with new clothes for the journey. And he basically just gives them a lot of like free goods, bearing in mind there's a famine going on. So people don't even have much at this point anyway. Mm-hmm. So they go back to their dad with all this stuff, like all this food, all these clothes, all this cattle. And they're like, hey, dad, like Joseph is alive. And by the evidence of what he sees, Jacob is like so moved,
yeah,
so overjoyed. He's like, I'm going to come to see my son.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I think I just think about the brothers in this moment because they were sent back on this journey with abundant food. And I think like it just speaks to God's provision. Oof. And God's heart for us. Like even when we mess up, God can give us abundantly more than we deserve. Mm. And they've gone back to their father, not only to almost raise his spirits again, because he was so heartbroken when the brothers told him that Joseph, quote unquote, died. Mm. He was so heartbroken. And yet he gets to not only be told that his son is alive, but he's also sent back with food. Like it's a whole celebration and a party. I don't know. So I just like the image of that. I think that's really, really cool. And I guess a question about the brothers, do you think that it would have been hard for them to accept what Pharaoh had given to them, all the food, the clothes, everything to take back on their journey? Do you think they would have taken it with ease and been like, oh, okay, that's great? Or do you think maybe something might have been stirring on the inside of them?
Oh yeah, I definitely think that. I feel like they would have been like suspicious, like why? Like I've done the worst I could ever do to a brother, but yet I'm receiving this sort of like opposite treatment that I expected. Like they've been given like abundant like provision for their journey there and to come back with their dad and their whole family and cattle and everything.
Yeah.
And I would be caught off guard. Like I would think, oh no, I'm probably gonna die here because of what I've done. But then like I think they would just be so shocked, something stirring in their hearts, like I don't deserve this. There must be some ulterior motive behind this. Maybe they're trying to like catch us out or something. What do you think?
I think they would have accepted it but been so scared.
Yeah.
And they could have probably thought this is the last nice thing we'll ever get.
Yeah, for real.
And maybe when we get back to where our father lives in Canaan, mm-hmm. maybe we'll be told to stay there.
Yeah.
Maybe this is false. Like maybe there's a catch to this. And I also think like with forgiveness, it's so uncomfortable because I don't think we're really used to forgiveness like that. No. And I think when someone forgives you on that scale, you often might think, what's the catch? Like what?
Exactly.
Like they're where are the cameras? Like there must be something else to it. There's no way there's no strings attached. There's no way.
Yeah.
But Joseph moved like that. Joseph was like, no, there genuinely is no strings attached. Pharaoh was like, there's genuinely no strings attached. Like we just want to bless you. That's we just want to help you. And I also think that speaks to like when God forgives us, like God's love is so unconditional.
Yeah.
So vast and so like hard for us to understand. That when God says that we're forgiven, a lot of the times it feels jarring.
Yeah, right.
Or a lot of the times we resist receiving his forgiveness
mm-hmm.
because we're so overcome by our situation and maybe the things that we've done that we think, oh, I don't deserve it.
Right.
So I have to reject it.
Totally.
But like, we don't deserve it.
Yeah.
But that's why we can accept it.
Yeah.
Because God is so good. Like, he's so much better than I will ever be or anything that I will ever do.
Yeah.
And he can cover my mistakes and cover my past more than I ever can. So why don't I just stop fighting it and I actually just accept what he's done for me?
Yeah. And often that jarring part is, even if we do accept the fact that like God has forgiven us, we then find it hard to like forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
And let ourselves go from this like hold of the guilt and the shame that we've felt from sinning and being far away from God. So that forgiveness feels difficult because we're like, well, God's forgiven me, but I surely, like, it can't be that easy. Surely there's, like, it should be, like, harder than this. But because it comes to us so freely, like, God forgives us so freely, with so much grace and so much mercy and kindness that it's alien to us, because those around us in the world can't forgive us like that, like God does. So it feels difficult. But I mean, this is just an example. Like Joseph forgiving his brothers in this way isn't obviously like the exact same as how God forgives us, because God does it on a bigger scale. But this is just like the jarringness that we can feel from like how the brothers might be feeling. But then this willingness that Joseph has to like let go of the past and like step into this new, not better future, but like some, you know, if you read on this, you'd see how it ends. But
that's great.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome that there's so much. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Just the bounds of it, like the lengths of forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, and I think moving on from that, we see the journey and the road to them really stepping into what this forgiveness looks like. And just to kind of, I guess, paraphrase and skim over chapter 46, we basically see Jacob going on this journey.
Yeah.
Going to Egypt, and he gets a vision from God, and God basically tells him, don't be afraid to go to Egypt.
Yep.
Don't be scared. And he reinstates the promise that he made to Abraham, who was his grandfather, and Isaac, who is his dad, the same promise that I'm going to make you a great nation. And God basically tells him, the land that you are in right now, you guys will come back.
Yeah.
Like you'll be back here. Mm-hmm. Like your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, you guys will be back. But just not right now.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
And I love how God comforts Jacob in this moment, because to Jacob, yes, he's going to reunite with his son, but also he's stepping into a land that he doesn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And also stepping into a land that can offer him more than what he has right now because of the famine. But there is something to say about that. Like when we step into new territory and when we step into a new chapter or a new season, it is scary.
Yeah.
But God's aware of that.
Yeah.
And I love how God was there to comfort him and be like, no, don't worry. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be afraid. But also remember who I am and remember what I've promised you. Wow. And you can hold on to my promises in the midst of fear.
Yeah.
Love it.
And that's what we can do with our own lives when we're stepping into a new season or territory where we feel like God is leading us into. We can hold on to the truths and the hope and the prophetic words, whether we've been given them or not, of the past seasons, that God is going to lead us through, and that he's like, he understands our weakness and like how we can fear what's ahead. Like God understands, and he's like, yeah, I love that. But anyways, I just think it's relevant for us. Just how people are feeling in this, it's the same with us. Like, yeah, cool. Like we're going to be scared, but God is like, again, a comforting God. He's our comforter and he will lead us through and it'll be okay. Don't worry.
And I love reading this. I've actually loved tracking through this whole story because it normalizes the parts of like forgiveness and pain and even the mistakes that we might make on other people. It helps us see how to kind of act in those scenarios and can give us some, I guess, insight into how other people have processed it. Like, how has Joseph reacted to his pain? Okay, Lord, how can I react to mine? Like, how have the brothers reacted to the gravity of their sin? Okay, God, how do I position my heart to react to that as well? Like, it helps normalize things. Mm-hmm. It's like I've got a case study to work with and a map to work with on how to deal with my own situations. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go a little bit further down and just read a couple verses about when Joseph sees his dad.
Yeah.
For the first time. I just think this is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 46, verses 28 to 30, it says that when they arrive to the region of Goshen, so when Jacob and his whole family like arrive to this piece of land that Pharaoh had pointed out and said, hey, you guys can live here. So yeah, when they arrived to the region of Goshen, Joseph and his chariots made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. And by the way, Jacob's name is also Israel. Like he has two names. If you go back in the story of Jacob's life, he basically meets this man and they have like a little wrestling match. And that sounds kind of crazy, but that's exactly what happened. They have a wrestling match and actually he wrestled with this guy, but it turned out to be God. And the man gave him a new name and was like, from this day onwards, your name will no longer be Jacob. It will be Israel. So in the scriptures, you might see them refer to a man called Israel. That is also Jacob, just to help you out there. But it says, Joseph and his chariots made ready and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel, who is Jacob. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Israel said to Joseph, now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive. And I just think that's so beautiful.
Yeah, the relief that dad must have felt to see his beloved son that he favored, you know? And like to think that, I mean, he grieved so much that he replaced him, well, tried to replace him with the second youngest son. Yeah. Father heart.
And the amount of people that turned up as well at that family reunion between Jacob and Joseph. It wasn't even just his dad. There was the whole extended family, grandchildren. Like, it was a whole squad that pulled up. That must have been overwhelming. Like, Joseph sitting there like, wow, who are half these people?
Right.
Because I've been away for so long.
Yeah.
I don't know who any of you are.
Hey, auntie, who? What's your name?
Yeah, you know when you go to a family gathering, there's always that one aunt that's like, oh, my gosh, I remember you when you were one. And you're like,
who?
Never seen you a day in my life. Never seen you a day in my life, mate. Joseph was probably feeling that same way. Like,
I mean, with bare people, like with probably like his whole family.
Mate, that was a whole congregation that pulled up there. That was kind of crazy. And I also think, like, you know, in this whole story, we've talked a lot about Joseph. We've talked a lot about the brothers. But what about the dad? Like, the dad, Jacob, really suffered, you know, for the loss of his son. And he had nothing to do with that. Like, he wasn't the one that sold Joseph into slavery. It was the brothers.
Mm.
And yet he suffered the most, like, out of it, because his youngest son that he loved so much was just taken away from him for no fault of his own.
But the thing is, he thought he was dead. So I wonder what that man was thinking when, like, the brothers, oh my gosh, we're tracking back again. But, like, if when the brothers were like, oh my gosh, like, our brother's alive, Joseph's alive, he's probably like, what? What did you guys do? You lied to me? You lied to me that he's dead, but he's actually alive? Like, how is he now ruling Egypt? Like, how is he now leading Egypt? Like, what's going on? He probably was so confused.
Yeah, and then he got a good deal out of it too, because afterwards Pharaoh meets, Joseph brings his dad to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
And he introduces his dad and his brothers as shepherds. Which is like kind of cool of Joseph to kind of ensure that they would have a good deal and also to ensure that nothing bad would happen to them. But Pharaoh basically asked Jacob, like, how old are you? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
you're 130.
Guys. Yeah, he's like, first of all,
you're old.
That's crazy. That's actually mean. Dang.
They lived for years back then.
Yeah, true. They were holding on.
Wow.
Holding on. I don't know anyone that's lived to 130.
Yeah,
but
for real.
I mean, if you have and you're watching this or listening to this,
big up.
Shout out to you. But yeah, basically, Pharaoh blesses Jacob and offers him, hey, there's this place in that we've got, Goshen. You guys are more than welcome to like live here,
mm-hmm.
to work here, like shepherd, take care of the food, the resources and all that stuff. And it's quite nice. It's quite a sweet ending.
Mm-hmm.
But then it takes a bit of a different turn.
Skirt.
Because in Genesis 47, we hear more about like what actually happens during the years of the famine, yeah. and how Joseph chooses to lead. And what transpires was actually not what I was expecting to happen. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of wild. So I don't know if you guys are listening to this podcast, maybe you've heard about the Israelites. You know, Moses, he takes them out of slavery in Egypt in the Old Testament. And they like go through to the promised land, all this stuff. Mm. We hear a lot about how the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt, but we never really think about how they got there. Guys, this is their origin story. This is actually wild. So basically, the famine's happening, right? And the famine is happening not just in Egypt, but also in the surrounding
areas,
like surrounding towns and villages around Egypt. So there's a lot of places where there's just no food. And the people come to Joseph and they're like, Joseph, there's no food. Like, we're starving. Like, what are we going to do? Bearing in mind, Joseph is second in command. So Pharaoh's really looking at him being like, listen, if you've got a suggestion, we can run with that. So Joseph says, okay, guys, give me your livestock, give me your cattle, give me all that you have, and in exchange we'll provide you with grain so that you can basically plant and farm your own crops. So the people say, okay, yeah, let's do it. So they give Joseph their livestock, but then the livestock runs out because the famine's still going on. So then they're like, oh, we've got no food. Again, Joseph, what do we do? So they come back to him, and then Joseph's like, okay, cool. Let's settle it here. Why don't you guys become Pharaoh's servants? And why don't you basically give yourselves over, and in exchange, like, we will give you grain, you will be able to harvest crops. Yes, most of the crops that you harvest will be for Pharaoh, but you will be able to take enough to live off of. And the Israelites, or yeah, the children, the Israelites, you guys are getting the gist. But at this point, they're like, look, we have no food. We have nothing. We are so desperate. We'll just give ourselves over. That's and Joseph's insane. Basically just like, yeah,
just do cool. It. Yeah, and I just find that, like, crazy.
Yeah.
To think that they had gotten to that point of desperation to be like, I'm just gonna become a slave for Pharaoh because we need food, we need this to survive. But I think what's also really interesting is that we see that this is the second dream prophecy coming into fulfillment.
From the original dreams
yeah. of the sheaves of wheat and his dreams with people bowing to him.
Yeah.
And we can see the whole of Egypt now is at the mercy of Joseph for grain and survival. Like, the Israelites literally all just came to him and said, well, we have nothing. We have no livestock that we can now give over for food. We have no money. And the only things that we have left is ourselves. So we're just going to give ourselves over. If you deep that, that's deep.
Mm-hmm. But what a quote from Michelle. If you deep that, that's deep.
If you deep that, that's deep.
And also, I think, when we talk about Joseph and his leadership, yes, okay, we know the fate of the Israelites at this point. We know the fate of what happens to these people. This is going to sound so brazen, but if we look over that just for 1 second, Joseph took initiative. Like, in a desperate and dire situation, somebody had to make a call. Somebody had to decide what we were doing, and Joseph stepped up and did it. And I think, like, he led with, I guess, what he thought was best.
Mm.
And he also led with God. Like, that's the thing that Pharaoh noticed about him that was different.
Right.
And that's the reason why he got appointed as the second in command, was because of the God that he served and the God he represented and the God that he followed. Because it's one thing to know God, it's another thing to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And the consequences of Joseph following God meant that they were able to survive the famine because God was able to give Joseph all this wisdom. How to go through things. But ultimately, God gives us choice, you know, like, he can present us with different scenarios and different outcomes, but ultimately it's up to us to choose.
Yeah.
And how we talked about before at the beginning of this, of the Romans 8:28, of how all things work out, God told Jacob when he was leaving Canaan that his family would be back there one day, and it's true. They ended up back in Canaan, in the promised land, one day. But it wasn't the conventional how they thought they would get there. Joseph didn't think this was the role he was going to play in the story of his people. But it ended up happening that way. But this just shows how faithful God is and how God might speak in the scriptures, in tiny scriptures of tiny promises, but really hold on to it. Like, that's such a verse we can look past when he has that conversation with Jacob and says, hey, like, your people will come back here.
Yeah.
We can look past it so much. But actually, like, this is the beginning of that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the beginning of them needing to remember.
So good.
We need to remember who their God is and that God will help them. I mean, spoiler alert, they forget after this point, which is actually crazy. Like, they actually forget how they got enslaved. They all forget this whole Joseph moment, which is so wild. Like, basically, Joseph is just forgotten about in how they got here, and they just think, oh, we've just always been here.
Silly
which
humans.
Is nuts. But anyways, I'm not trying to spin anybody's brains, but that's insane.
Guys, go read this for yourselves, because there is so much.
It is crazy.
There is so much that you can learn from this story. But the thing is, the point that you just made, Zen, is so good, because God is so faithful. He is faithful to his word. He is so, like, he is a God of promises, and when he makes a promise, he's going to show through that. Even when you don't think he's really doing what he's doing, he's doing it, one, in his timing, and two, for your good. Like, he's preparing you for that moment, that promise that he's given you. But it might not look like the conventional way that you think you're going to get there. Oftentimes, no, it's never in the way that you imagine for yourself to be walking in the fulfillment of a promise that God's given you. Because it's God's way, not our way. Yeah. Your will be done. Come on. Not my will be done.
That's great.
Anyways.
And we see God's will done at the end of this story, the last two chapters of Genesis, which is the conclusion. It's the conclusion of a lot of things. It's the conclusion of Jacob. Mm-hmm. Jacob, RIP Jacob, but he does pass away now. And before he goes out, he blesses all 12 of his sons and Joseph's two sons as well, because Joseph had children in Egypt. But he blesses his Joseph's sons, his sons. And when he dies, that's a moment where all the brothers just go into mourning. Joseph goes into mourning and they're all like deeply saddened. Mm. And this happens between like Genesis 48 and 49. And then we get to Genesis 50. And I think this is the seminal moment, the seminal scripture that like so many Christians like quote this, what Joseph says. But I think at this moment, the brothers probably still had that thing in their heads of like, no, but where's the revenge? Like the revenge can still come at any moment and it's warranted. Like we've messed up so bad. Yeah. Now that our dad has passed away, Joseph has full reign to do whatever he wants. He can kick us out of Egypt.
Yeah.
He can send us with our bags packed. Like it could be so bad for us. And Joseph still doesn't do that. It's crazy.
What a good bro.
Michelle, do you want to do us the honors of reading Genesis 50 verses 18 to 21?
Yes, I can. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. What? What? That's so crazy.
That song is wild. But yeah, Joseph passes away after this. And this is like the conclusion of his life. But I honestly think what a journey. And I'm just even now reflecting on where Joseph started with getting these dreams of like your brothers are going to bow down to you. The nation will bow down to you and all this stuff. You're going to be a great leader. To then going through the craziest character arc of all time.
No, for real.
Like the craziest story of all time. That could have been a villain origin story. I mean, if it was me, it would have been my villain origin story, but I am not Joseph. Joseph, way better. Yeah, like honestly, craziness. And he comes out of the end of it with no bitterness.
None.
Towards his brothers.
A heart that is free from bitterness and this heaviness that he could have easily like spiral into. But he went from the beginning of the story, he went from this naive young boy that like tried to impress his brothers with the dreams that he was getting, but actually angered them, to then, which then led him to ultimately like suffer and be sold and everything. But then like it was just weird how like in each like pinnacle point in the story, not pinnacle, but each like important point in his story, whether that be in Potiphar's house, whether that be in the prison where he was like a guard over. Was it a guard or like
he was
like in charge of the prison.
He helped around.
He helped around and he was obviously like Potiphar's basically EA assistant. Mm-hmm. He like
love that. Love that from Joseph. It's amazing.
He was. And then he went and did it for what's his face?
What, Pharaoh?
Pharaoh. Mm. And he went and did it for Pharaoh. And it's just like God was building his character so much through each moment, whether that be in leadership, whether that be in his heart. Like I reckon in each moment he was thinking, whoa, God is being so good to me here. Like I should really not be where I am right now. But then God has like pulled me through and he's put me in the best position ever in this situation. Because, like, in prison, he could have easily just been, like, this odd geezer, like, this geezer that's just, like, taken advantage of by the other prisoners in that prison. But no, he's actually, like, looking after them and, like, looking after that cell. And the same with Potiphar's house. He was in charge of it, of everything that was happening in that house.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Egypt. But I just find, like, he's just grown so much through that time that, like, God, like, in... What scripture was it that we were talking about? Romans 8:8, where God 8:28 where God uses all things for good and he turns all things around for good. I just like that. That's just insane. That's exactly what God did. Mm-hmm. He took he just took a bad, like what should have turned out bad into something that was great and really good. Not only beneficial for Joseph, but his whole family for generations on.
Mm-hmm.
And fulfilling prophecy in both his life, but then also his dad's like lineage.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from all the episodes and all the chapters is that like God can use anyone to redeem anything.
So good.
Like, I don't think Joseph really knew, because God gave him the dreams, but he didn't really know too much. Like, he saw his brothers bowing down and thought, oh, that means I'm going to be a great leader. Not just any great leader, the second in command of Egypt during a famine, and God's going to use you to save Egypt from famine and save your entire family from this famine as well. Yeah. Like, he had no clue the gravity of what God was going to use him for in that moment. And I also think, like, I mean, we've touched on it earlier, but like Joseph kind of lacked discernment then. He was a little bit immature, like, oh, let me flex with this dream with my brothers. Did he need to tell his brothers the dream?
No.
Not really. Like, he didn't really need to. But at the same time, just because he did one bad thing didn't mean that, oh, God's sitting back like, well, I had this great purpose for you, but you've got to mess up. So I guess we have to change it. Guess that won't happen. Like, no, like our mistakes doesn't nullify us from God's purpose and God's plans. Like, even if we mess up, God will still use it. Even the brothers who messed up, who sold his brother into slavery, they got redeemed. Like, they were saved. Even his father, like every single person, Pharaoh, like before he met Joseph, Pharaoh was out here doing anything, like he didn't really follow God.
Yeah.
But once he met Joseph and he saw the God that Joseph serves, it opened his eyes. Like Potiphar's eyes were open. Like every single person that Joseph met had been going through mistakes, and God used Joseph to help them in their journey towards God and also to save a whole nation.
Yeah.
And so I think like, wow, how big is God, like that he can see beyond what we can see.
Right.
He can see beyond our mistakes and still use them and weave them together for his good.
Really good. And
love
like
it.
I love that. I love that there's so much that we can take from Joseph's story. There's so much that we can learn for our own lives. The character of God and his faithfulness and his just who he is, how he is a bigger God than we might ever think. You know? But yeah, I feel like I was gonna say something and I forgot.
Maybe you forgot. Maybe there's something that you were thinking that you haven't forgot. Maybe you can drop it in the comments. Maybe you can drop it in the comments of this video. Maybe if you're listening on Spotify, I swear on Spotify now you can add
comments.
Apple Music, I'm not really sure about that. But yeah, if you're using that, God bless you. But yeah, if you're using Spotify, you know, you can drop a little, what did you think? If you're on YouTube, drop us a comment as well. What do you think about the conclusion of Joseph's story? If you've been watching through every single episode, maybe give us, this is my challenge to you guys, give us your one take, your one thought from the whole story of Joseph. What is God saying to you? What are you thinking? We would love to hear. And guys, that is the end of Joseph. Hope you guys enjoyed. Maybe leave us a comment and tell us if there's any other people in the Bible that you would love us to do like a character deep dive on.
Esther.
Who could it be? Is it an Esther? Is it a Moses? Is it a Samuel? Is it a David? Oh, we don't really know. Is it a Jesus? Well, we talk about Jesus all the time. But yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. We enjoyed doing this series.
We
and we'll see you guys in the next episode of The Way Pod.
See you later.